It's Father's Day, and I had a word on my heart that I want to share with you, and I'm going to try and run through it. I'm going to set my timer, and my battery is actually up, so it should last for an hour. Just kidding. The title of the message, if you're taking notes, the title of the message is "The Lord Sought for Him a Man." The Lord sought for him a man. And this is taken out of two passages of Scripture, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. And it actually was spoken originally in reference to David. That's how God saw him. God sought him out. It tells you the reason why God sought him out in this passage. I'm going to read both to you. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be the commander over his people because," and he's talking about Saul, "because Saul had not kept what the Lord commanded." So that was written prior to David becoming king and many of the events of his life that we know. And then in the book of Acts, after David's life and all the events we know, this is what was spoken about David. Acts chapter 13, verses 22 to 24. "And when he had removed Saul from being king, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he," God, "testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all of my will." And then I want to emphasize this next little thing, and you'll know why in a few minutes. But and then it goes on in verse 23 and says, "And of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised." So here you have one statement prior to David's life where God says, "I have found me a man. I sought out and I found a man for myself who is after my own heart, who will do all of my will." And then after his life, God records of David, after having lived all of his life and all the various events that we know about David, God's estimation of him, his declaration of him, not only was he a man after his own heart, who would do all of his will, but he was chosen to be in the lineage of Christ, favored of God. In fact, David is a type and a shadow in the Scripture of Christ. He is one of the Old Testament images and pictures of Christ. Many aspects of David's life show the heart of the Father. They show the nature of God. So this search for a man who will be after God's own heart and who will do all his will is not limited to David. God has always looked for men, and he is still looking for men who are after his own heart and who will do his will. And I want to just pray just for a second, just for fathers in this room today. Jesus, you know every man. You know the heart of every man in this room, the dads, the fathers in this room. And you are calling all of us men to be men after your own heart who will do all of your will. I pray as we search this out in the Scripture and think about this, I pray, Father, for a great revelation of the call of God on our lives and the great revelation of what you have done to make it possible for us to live out these things. Thank you for that, Jesus. Just a couple more passages that talk about God searching for men on this Father's Day. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says this. It says, "The eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. So God is always looking. He's always searching over the earth for those whose hearts are perfect toward him. He chose David because he was a man who was after his own heart. And that term, after his own heart, actually has two meanings. It means that he was seeking after God's own heart, but his heart was also like God's heart. It was after God's heart. Both those things are in that. Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 28 to 30. The people of the land have practiced extortion. They've committed robbery. They have oppressed the poor and the needy. They have extorted from the sojourner without justice. Therefore, I sought for a man among them who would build up the wall that was broken down and stand in the breach before me for the land. And we understand that one of the things that God has put in the hearts of men is to be defenders, protectors, soldiers, fighters, who would lay down their lives. And part of the nature of God, part of what it means to be in the likeness of God, is God is a defender of the weak. He's a father to the fatherless. He is a just God, and he hates unjust scales. And so one of the aspects of the Father, the true Father, is that he is continually watching out and continually seeking to bring justice in the earth, continually providing and continually protecting. I don't think any of us even understand the degree to which we have experienced the protection of the Father. Maybe on that day when we go to be with the Lord and our lives are revealed, we will see the many thousands upon thousands of times that God intervened on our behalf and as a Father protected us. But this is one of the things that he looks for when he's searching throughout the land. He searches for a man who will stand in the gap for those who have been robbed, the poor, the needy, those who have had injustices happen to them. God wants to bless the dads that are in this house today. He does. And I pray blessing upon you today. That's the heart of God. May God's abundant grace be on you and in you, and may it flow through you and around you, particularly to your sons and daughters. May the grace of God be upon you, fathers. May it flow from you to your sons and daughters. But may you who are fathers and mothers in the house of God, may you also have that grace to be a blessing to many. I want to talk today about the truth that God has chosen to reveal himself through fathers, and that God searches for fathers who will be after his own heart, who will specifically reveal the Father in their fatherhood. And they will be reflections of God. They will be like their Father in heaven. And I'm going to wander through the scripture a little teeny bit, but I want to lay out a couple of foundations for you. Romans chapter 1, again, a familiar passage of scripture, critical in understanding the nature of the universe around us, the nature of all things. And it says this: it says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his divine power and divine nature, have been clearly seen and understood from the things that are made. So in other words, the reverse of that is that God created things to reveal aspects of himself. Okay? In actual fact, he very specifically created very specific things that are very specifically designed to reveal very specific things about God. Okay? How many is enough specifics for you? Okay? I'm saying that for a reason. It's not just general, it's specific. We're talking about exact design. We're talking about the hand of God producing in the creation exact orders of things, very precise designs. all because they are to portray the truths that God intended them to portray. Fatherhood, the existence of that thing, was designed and created by God to be one of the primary pictures on earth of the nature and the character of God. That's why it exists. That's why God created it. Now, there are many other things, but today we're going to talk about fathers. Okay, so listening to that again, and think about fathers today. Think about you yourself as a father, and think about fathers when you hear that again. God's invisible qualities are to be revealed in the lives of fathers. His eternal power, his divine nature, are to be clearly seen and understood when you look at fathers. When you look at fathers, the lives of fathers, how they live, how they function as fathers, God wants his nature to be seen. And he wants us as fathers to reflect and to show forth the thing that we were created for, designed for, as fathers. Jesus said that one of the main reasons that he came down from the Father was to reveal the Father to us. And there are many examples of Jesus doing this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus tells us the kind of relationship that God has intended for us, how he wants to relate to us. Jesus revealed how God wants to relate to us and have a certain kind of relationship to us in these words. When Jesus said, the disciples said, how do you pray? How do we pray? Teach us how to pray. Jesus said, here's how I want you to pray. Pray, our Father who art in heaven. Now, being very honest with you, and you may have never thought about this, but this was an extremely radical revelation. Okay, I'm going to give you a statistic. The word God is called a father 7 times in the entire Old Testament. 7 times. The Jewish people, in their Jewish religion, the Old Testament order of things, did not reveal God as Father in the same kind of way as Jesus revealed. Now, interestingly, in this exact chapter that I just quoted to you, you know, about the Lord's Prayer, Jesus calls the Father 7 times. The entire Old Testament, thousands of years of history, God is called Father 7 times. The New Testament, just in the Gospels, not including the rest of the Scripture, Jesus calls God the Father over 150 times. I'm saying this to you because one of the primary purposes of Jesus was to reveal the nature of who God is and the relationship that he has called us to have with him, which is fatherhood. We relate to him as a father. Now, there's good news in this idea that God is a father, because that makes him a person. There are many people in this world who have warped ideas about what God is. Some think God is an impersonal force. If there is a God, then he's not knowable. God is just simply the life energy that is in living things. There are many beliefs like this that are in the world. But God, in those beliefs, God is not a God that you can know. God is not a God that you can talk to, or that you can have relationship with, or that cares about you, or that you can love and you can be loved by. And in the revelation, revelation that Jesus came to bring this world, it was literally a revelation of a God who is personably knowable, personably experienced, a God that we can have not just any kind of relationship with, distant relationship, no from afar, but the most intimate relationship that human beings can enter and experience, which is that of a father to a child. Okay? Now, moms are in there as well. That's also an intimate relationship. Husbands and wife are also intimate. But there's a revelation in the father relationship with his children. There's an aspect of that that is it's critical and vital, and that's why God chose to reveal this. Now, the bad news is that when we use the word father, it also, for many of us, conjures up all kinds of painful memory. And rather than being a happy term, it's a sad term for some people, even an angry term. Or it might stir up even deep resentments when we talk about use the word father, and our memories of our fathers can be like that. Some of us, our earthly fathers failed us, and they failed to show us the Heavenly Father. My dad was like that. I'm one of those, and maybe many of you here are. You know, some of you know my story. My first experience with my dad before I was even born was my father wanting my mom to abort me. That's my first experience of my father. And my mom refused to do that. From that time forward in my life, I have memories of my memories of my father are very rough. They're experience of rejection. They're experiences of extremely harsh discipline, anger, yelling and screaming, and you know, all through my childhood and until my dad left. I was fortunate. Again, this is my concept of my father. I was fortunate that from the time I was about eight or so, my dad began working overseas. He was a mechanical inspector on large dam projects in different places in the world. And so from 8 till 11, when my mom and dad finally divorced, I hardly saw my father, which was a good thing for me. You can imagine, not having a father is a good thing, because your experience of your father is so bad that, you know, it's better for him not to be around. My experience from my father from that day forward, from the time I was 11 until his death, was not once in that entire time did my father ever try and contact me. I was a non-entity to him. So my earthly father is one of the fathers that did not reflect, did not display what he was created to display. And many of you have experienced that, or maybe even worse than that, from your earthly fathers. But let me say this. The reality or the truth or the revelation that's in the word father would have no meaning to us at all. It would make no sense if God had not designed fatherhood. Yes, some of us got the wrong message. But fatherhood is still intended to display the truth about who God is, in spite of the fact that some of us got raw deals. And in spite of the fact that we are human fathers ourselves. It's still God's plan that fathers would reveal the nature and the character of God. It was God's intent in creating fathers that we would see and understand the fatherhood of God by seeing and experiencing the nature and the heart of the Heavenly Father in our relationship with our earthly fathers. That's God's plan. It was God's intent to make himself known in the qualities of God within earthly fathers. And I want to take a moment to show you what happened to this, how this got messed up. How this image of God that God intended to be such a pure revelation and such a life-giving thing, how it got destroyed. And now we know the process began with a serpent way back in the garden. And I'm going to call him one of his names with the destroyer. Fatherhood was destroyed. Fatherhood became something that was frail and faulty and often fell through and often gave us bad experiences and often became one of the most destructive forces there is. It became that way because a destroyer destroyed it. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." That was his intention, that humankind would be in the image of God, that fathers would be in the image of God. Genesis chapter 4. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore a son, Cain. And Adam said, I have gotten me a man from the Lord. Adam became a father. That was the design. Okay? A person who was created in the image of God, who was designed to be a reflection of God's nature in every aspect of his being, and it was God's plan that he be a father. Here it is right in front of you. Adam becomes a father, and the human race begins that way. Adam became a father. Man created in the image of God as a father, designed to speak and to show the fatherhood of God, God's nature. Man designed to be the message that God intended to reveal, came into existence when Adam became a father, and every father since. Adam became a father, and he and every father since bears the aspect of the image of their creator. Creator is a father. Every father, whether it's a marred image, a destroyed image, a destructive image, they are a father. That's an aspect of the nature of God that exists even in the marred creation. It's there. Then you go down into Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 tells us what the destroyer destroyed. It tells us what his work has been ever since the fall. Genesis 6 says this: men began to increase in number on the earth, and daughters were born to them. But the seed of sin that was sown into the hearts of man had taken root. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. How many of you experienced that from, don't put up your hand. Some of you have experienced violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt for all flesh. Now listen to this carefully. For all flesh, all people, had corrupted his way. They had corrupted his way, God's way, on the earth. The word corrupt here is a Hebrew word that means, it's very interesting, the word corrupt means to twist, it means to mar, it means to ruin or to distort something. So in other words, it was intended to look a certain way, but you take it and you twist it and you mar it and you distort it until the original thing that it was designed to portray is no longer recognizable. It's disfigured. That's what this word means. The way of God that God intended fathers to be was disfigured. You could no longer see the way by how fathers were. And all mankind and all of the things that mankind does. We were intended to be in the image of God, but you could no longer see the image of God because the way of God was distorted by sin. God is love. He is gentleness. He's meekness. He's goodness. He's self-control. And man became the opposite of those things. Sin reigned. Everything that was the opposite of the nature of God began to multiply in the earth because sin was in the hearts of people. And so the earth was filled with this. God created fathers to be crystal clear images on earth of the true Father, the Father of all, God. Fathers are to be the message of God to man and to people around them and to their children of what the real Father is and what the real Father is like. But sin in the hearts of man has distorted his image. Earthly fathers sin. They don't always love the way their heavenly Father loves. They don't always protect the way the heavenly Father protects. They don't always provide the way the heavenly Father provides. Unlike the Heavenly Father, our earthly fathers have sometimes been people who were unfaithful to us, who abandoned us, rejected us, or they were mean, unjust, unkind, or they were aggressive and violent. Many never led us to God. Many of our earthly fathers did not bring us the spiritual food that the Heavenly Father would bring. Many of our earthly fathers did not show us the way to come to the Father by being godly fathers. It wasn't a part of what was inside them. Many never drew us to themselves or taught us the truth or provided the bread of life to us or showed us the ways of God. Many, and I'm going to say this, many of us have lost to varying degrees. Us in this room today, many of us in this room here today have lost the pure image of God, of the Father, because we have not had fathers in our own lives that have demonstrated to us and showed us what the Father is like. But what does God want? What's God after? If that was the end of the story, right there, it'd be pretty depressing. That's a sad story indeed. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness was on the earth and what it had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And so God the Father sent Jesus, his Son, into this world to take upon himself all of the sins of the world. Listen to this. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us so that we might become the righteousness, listen to this, the righteousness of God in him. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of Christianity, that this curse, the curse of sin, not just the eternal consequences for it, not just being saved from hell, but sin itself might actually be overthrown inside our lives. That fathers who once had this marred, distorted image, they were affected in their own lives by their sin, and it controlled how they responded. That God can actually change fathers from the way the devil intended them to be to the way that God intends them to be. And that the image of God can be restored to the earth in fathers. You see, Jesus didn't just come to die for our sins that we would be forgiven. He came to die for our sins that we would be transformed once again into the image of God. That's God's purpose for fathers. Let me read it again to you a slightly different way. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become like God again. So that in Christ and through Christ, in us, the image of God might be seen. And that distorted, disfigured image might become crystal clear again. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God has spoken to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. Listen carefully. But in these last days, he has spoken unto us through the Son. The Son, his nature, his ways, his words, his character, his purposes speak to us. His life speaks to us. This is important, guys. Because fathers' lives need to speak to us. Fathers' lives need to speak to their children. Okay? So God, he's not speaking through prophets like in the Old Testament and so on and so forth. In these last days, he's speaking to us through his Son. In these last days, he's speaking us to through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being. When you look at Jesus, you see the Father. When you look at the life of Jesus, you are seeing the Father. And that's why Jesus said to the disciples, "Why do you say to me, show me the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Now listen carefully. This is a message to us dads. Okay? The message to, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but the message to us dads is, let me give it to you in another passage of Scripture. We, as beholding in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, the radiance of God, His incredible, beautiful character. We, as beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory into that image. How do we become like Him? Fathers, how do we become fathers that are after God's own heart? How do we become fathers who are like the Heavenly Father? I want to tell you, fathers, you must behold the Son. You must set your eyes on Him. You must set your heart toward Him. You must set the desires of your life to know Him, to really know Him and understand Him, and call upon Him to set that character, those ways, that nature inside of you. You desire to be a good dad? That's how you become a good dad. You look at the One who is like the Father, who showed us the Father, and you become like Him. And I want to tell you, God is searching for men who are after His own heart, who are like Him. This last page, by the way. Miracles happen. I'm going to bring it to a close. God sent Jesus to restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And in doing so, Jesus, in restoring our relationship with our Heavenly Father, part of the intention of that is through relationship with the Father, He might make us dads, fathers, just like our Father. How is He going to do this? There are many ways. I'm going to share with you a couple of the ways. But listen to what God says to fathers and to all of us today. I'm not just going to do this from a distance. I'm not just going to do this by shouting my word from one end of the universe and it coming to you. I'm not just going to do this by you hearing some preacher get up and speak some sermon. I, He says, will make my dwelling place with men. Now, we know that's everybody, but I'm emphasizing men today. I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to make my dwelling place with you. I'm not going to teach you from far off. I'm going to teach you right in your life. I'm going to come right into your life, and I'm going to teach you my ways. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? And that God, the Spirit of God, dwells in you. How am I going to transform you? Listen, dads. You don't have to go out somewhere to try and figure this out. You don't have to travel across the sea to get this thing. The Spirit of God, what Jesus Christ has done in restoring our relationship, He has taken the Heavenly Father, made it possible for the Heavenly Father to take up habitation right inside of us. Now, there's an important thing in this, okay? How do we live? How do we let that happen? How do we let who God is be manifest in these lives? It's the same as every other thing in our Christian lives. I must decrease. He must increase. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. He lives in me. We allow the Father through obedience to the Word and through surrender to the Holy Spirit, through opening our eyes and pursuing Him in knowledge, who He is, His nature, character, and getting those things inside of our hearts, we allow ultimately the Father, the good, good Father, the Father in whom there's no shadow of turning, the Father who is the same yesterday, today, forever, the Father who consistently loves, who consistently forgives, who consistently overlooks fault, who consistently believes the best, who is gentle, who is kind, who is peace, long-suffering. We let that Father, who already lives in us, simply live as one. Say to you, fathers, today, you are God's gift. You are God's gift to your children. You are. He created you for this. And He gave you those children. They're yours. They're yours. But He has also created you to become the gift, the ultimate. Is the Heavenly Father, and to have His nature and His character formed in you. Can you see why the pursuit of God is so important? Can you see why knowing Him, experiencing Him, and developing close, intimate relationship with Him and observing Him is so vital? It's because we carry the message every single day. Carry the message to our children. Carry the message to people around us. This is what the Father is. And we do it in our responses. We do it in how we treat people. We do it in how we lay down our lives, like fathers lay their lives down for children. We do it in how we give ourselves to supply. We're constantly eating, constantly looking, not just natural food, but constantly feeding our sons and our daughters. It's a high calling. And I want to say to you today, you're not alone. The Heavenly Father is in you to do this.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.